This is truth be told.
That not only are there reptilians here,
new evidence of UFO fleets.
We were close to nuclear war.
To help you transform so that you can live your highest truth.
We're not being told just because we're not ready for it.
Geostations of frequency, vibrational.
I was a homicide detective with LAPD.
UFOs increase. Visitations. We all know that California is a state of diversity. Entertainment goes on here. We have mountains, we have deserts, we have the ocean, but we also have the unusual. And we're not talking about just the people, but in California we have UFO sightings, haunted places, Bigfoot experiences, and the list goes on and on. Well, today we have blogger Joe Parzanes talking all things weird California. On his website, there's so many different things that we could talk about, but today I think we're going to focus mostly on hauntings, monsters, legends, and who knows what we're going to talk about. So this should be a fun episode. We hope you enjoy. Maybe some of the destinations will be on your travel list. Well, I'm Tony Sweet with Truth Be Told. Please welcome to the Truth Be Told studios for the first time, blogger Joe Parzanes. There he is. He's on the coast.
I actually live in San Luis Obispo.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, that's a beautiful area.
Yeah, it's halfway between Los Angeles and San Francisco.
Oh, the best of both worlds. You get the beauty and then also away from all the big cities.
It's about 3.5 to 4 hours to each city.
Yeah, that's great. Well, and, you know, I've been out here 20 years, and one thing about California, and I'm sure many states have their own stories, but California, there's so much things to do out here. You know, if you're a sun person, an ocean person, mountain person, skier, but also people like me and a lot of the people in my chat rooms and subscribers and followers, that we love the paranormal. And California has so many different places that you can visit that have had experiences, from UFO sightings to hauntings to, you know, like I said in the intro, Bigfoot experiences. So first of all, are you originally from California?
I am not. I'm actually originally from New Jersey.
Oh, so you're a transplant like myself.
I am. I got out here in the 90s and I've been here ever since.
So. Now, were you like me, somebody that was interested in the paranormal field before?
I was. I actually, you know, was a subscriber to Weird New Jersey, that magazine that's there in the state. And that was probably one of my first experiences with a lot of the paranormal and, you know, weird things about New Jersey. So, and then I moved here and found that there was nothing like that here. The closest we had was Richard Sennett publishing a bunch of books about various ghost stories, which were awesome. You know, I was pretty young when I ran across his first book that discussed, you know, the San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara County area.
Right.
And I was just amazed. And I was disappointed that there wasn't a regular magazine like Weird New Jersey here.
Yeah. And I was actually surprised. I saw that you acquired Weird California, that it was even available.
I grabbed weirdca.com before that book came out. Uh-huh. And it's an excellent book. They did a great job of it. And then eventually they just let go of their weirdcalifornia.com domain name. And so when they let it go, I grabbed it.
That's great. Well, we're glad to have you here. And I know that you have a travel buddy that sometimes goes with you, your daughter.
I do. Yeah, she's turning 8 in about a week, on the 19th.
I think that is awesome. I used to grow up going hunting and fishing with my dad, and you know, those are great times to have memories to look back on, but especially this. You know, I'm not much of a person that loved to go out to the bars and, you know, go to the clubs. I was actually a day person. That's why I even started called Truth Travelers. Okay. Where I just get in the car and I drive and kind of see where I go and what's along the way. And that's how I kind of got interested in what you're doing, because California has so much legendary stories and, you know, myths about things that go on in California. So I want to start off by just jumping onto your website. I mean, Weird California, people can, you know, go check that out. But there's so many, you know, you talk about, you have animals, bizarre buildings, forgotten locales, hauntings, history. The list goes on and on.
A little too much.
Yeah, a little too much, but no, it's not. No, I think it's great, but because I think, you know, everybody's looking for their own
niche.
Adventures. Yeah. And so, what? First of all, what is one of your favorite subjects on the list of things that you do? And then we'll just dive right in.
I mean, I got to laugh. I love the cheesy, quirky roadside attractions. I do. I mean, it's not paranormal, but I got to admit, my daughter and I stayed in like the Wigwam Motel last summer, and she had a great time. And we went to like the McDonald's Museum around the corner, and you know, we drove down Route 66, and she really enjoyed a whole bunch of that. She bought a whole bunch of Route 66 paraphernalia and like souvenirs and things like that.
Oh, I love it.
Not monsters, not stuff like that, but my daughter does love all the ghost stories as well.
So. I don't know. She may be the next big TV host one day because of what you've instilled in her. So, yeah, I do too. Like a lot of the roadside attractions. There's some amazing ones here in California. But let's dive into to one of my favorites is hauntings. Many of my people that listen to my show know that I grew up in a house that I did see a ghost and of an old man, and so it's dear to my heart. My whole family would hear the old man. I was the only one that actually saw it. But so what was one of your first places that you visited for your blog or your website? And then we'll get into some of the most bizarre places.
I guess the first one that was a haunting was Adelaida Cemetery. It's over there by Paso Robles. It's a little to the west of Paso Robles out in the vineyards, out in the wine country. There's a very old cemetery there, and it's haunted by the ghost of Charlotte Sitton. She committed suicide after several of her children died of diphtheria. And you can go there and find, well, her gravesite has been sadly damaged. The tombstone is missing now. There's just like the bottom portion of it that's left, and you can't even see anything on it. Luckily, I have some pictures of the tombstone before it was destroyed.
All right.
You can also find some of the children, too, because they have like these tombstones of little lambs on top of them for the kids. And it's just a really old and very creepy cemetery. And every single time I go there, there's just weirdness around it. Like I've run across weird people hanging outside it.
Oh, really?
I have all sorts of stories to tell you. And then, you know, I've just had interesting situations happen there, right? Like I've gone with some friends and then other people I know just suddenly show up and they're walking down the trail the wrong way, you know, up like spots where there's no trails and just stumbling along. It's just definitely an interesting place. And the entire vibe is weird. It doesn't help that there's mercury mines nearby and there's Adelaida Cemetery right there.
And what makes
mercury mines?
Yeah. What makes this particular, Charlotte, What was she kind of her story?
She shows up around midnight on most nights and will haunt the cemetery on midnight. She apparently puts flowers on her grave. There's also supposed to be some spooky ghosts there too that will terrorize people. There's a ghostly caretaker who hangs out in the caretaker shed, which is pretty much mostly empty and falling down. They're working on fixing up some stuff there, but they have not fixed up much. Like the lower part is still where they have new burials.
Right.
The upper portion of the cemetery is where all the old ones are.
And how old was this? Was this the 1800s or?
Yeah, it's an 1800s one.
Yeah.
Like late 1800s, 1880s, 1890s, I think is when they first started putting people there.
Was this more like a chicken pox? Was it chicken? Not chicken pox. What was the measles?
Diphtheria was the one that got a lot of the children.
Is that what it was? Yeah. I knew where I grew up in Kansas, outside of my hometown. There was a lake that right north of the lake, there was this old, I mean, forgotten cemetery. And we were looking at, you know, most of them were broken, the headstones, but most of them were children. And that's because of that big outbreak at that time killed most of these kids. So, yeah.
There's also a haunted schoolhouse right around the corner. And it had a fire that apparently took out some of the children, too. And I guess one of the teachers hung herself from the rafters at one point, too.
Oh, my God.
So it's supposedly horribly haunted, too. And it's like right around the corner.
Is that the Lincoln?
Yeah, the Adelaide Lincoln Schoolhouse.
And so you said the teacher
hung herself, I guess.
I'm curious when I hear stuff like, there's the schoolhouse. I'm curious when I hear stuff like that, was this teacher, the story of why she killed herself? Was she possessed? Was she being haunted? Was she being like, what was the reason?
I haven't looked at my notes in a while, but I believe her husband left her. I think that's what happened. One of those stories. Yeah. And I guess someone found her right as the children were arriving for the day. So
the children found her.
Yeah, I think some of the children did see her, is what the story goes on.
Oh my gosh. So give us some other hauntings. Let's go into, I know here, I'm sure you've been to the bridge. Have you been to the suicide bridge in Pasadena? Yeah.
Yeah. I understand why they put the suicide barriers up, but it's kind of a shame. It's a really pretty bridge.
Yeah, it is. It's a beautiful bridge, and they put the fence, you know, and it's not even a pretty fence.
not at all. It's still a great bridge to drive over, though.
Well, I heard, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. I remember interviewing a guy about this bridge, suicide bridge. I think maybe called something else, but a woman jumped off the bridge with her child, and the child survived, which I think landed in a tree or something like that.
Yep, the child landed in a tree, yes.
And so this woman, if I remember right, now haunts the bridge by looking for her child.
She does, yes. That is one of the stories. So it's an interesting bridge. There's a lot of ghosts on the bridge and a lot of ghosts below the bridge. On top of that, the neighborhood also had a special slide that they had set up underneath the bridge too, where they go like sliding down on like cardboard and stuff like that. So there's a lot of graffiti in that area. The local neighborhood people from, you know, a few decades ago remember fondly sliding down it, not at night, of course.
Right. Well, what's one of the most haunted? Because I know the suicide bridge or Pasadena suicide bridge is one, but what are some other suicide or bridges that are haunted?
Well, Golden Gate, obviously.
Which one is it?
The Golden Gate obviously has the most suicides in America. I think only a bridge in Japan beats it out. For a while, I think they were getting one suicide a month at least. That one. It also has a ghost ship that sails underneath it and has been seen apparently by the Navy.
Oh, really?
Why does someone has actually, I think, jumped off that bridge twice. They did not survive the second time.
Okay. I mean, come on, what's your chances if you survived it
really
the first
low.
Time?
Yeah, it's really low the first time. It's not pretty. They had at one point they were advertising like how many suicides were happening off of it. But then they stopped doing it when it would get high and get to like a special number.
Right.
Because people were trying to be that special number. There's even a story about a dog that literally ran across San Francisco to get to the bridge to jump off. And they tracked where the dog had gone before it jumped off. And it ran throughout like an entire neighborhood and across other bridges just to jump off this one. And other people have driven over like other bridges in the Bay Area that were taller than the Golden Gate, but they drove to the Golden Gate to jump off.
I love it. All right, let's jump over to Felton, the covered bridge.
Oh, that one, I'm not sure how haunted that one really is. There's some urban legends that says that it's haunted. I didn't really see much when I was there. My daughter loved running around.
It looks cool, but spooky.
It does. It's pretty cool. I don't know, maybe at night it'll be spookier, but I haven't heard any specific stories about it, just that it's haunted, but just random hauntings. No one's really specified what it is. Ghost stories are funny, right? Like everyone wants a ghost story.
Right.
I've read books about like certain ghost hunters. They go to like a place in like, say like the Gold Rush area, and they're like checking out all the places, and they're like, the hotel I'm staying in is definitely not haunted, blah, blah, blah. And then 10 years down the road, I found another book written 10 years later by someone else. Now that hotel is now totally haunted. And I'm like, okay. So it makes me wonder how much of it's urban legends, how much of it is, you know, experiences, how much is just people's active imagination. The urban legends, like watching how urban legends grow is just fascinating. Like a lot of the more haunted locations will be where high school students party and drink, will be where campfire tales happen.
Right. Yeah, I haven't heard a lot about the bridges, just the one in Pasadena. But one thing that we usually do, we hear haunted houses and also hotels. I know in California there are a lot of haunted houses. Not just the ones they do for Halloween, but actual houses that have been haunted by its residents. So what was one of the first houses that you visited really kind of even give you the creeps?
Oh, there's one that's not on the website. It is a personal residence here in San Luis Obispo. It was built back in, I believe, 1897, somewhere between 1897 and 1901, somewhere around there. So it's one of those kind of Victorian style houses. I had some friends who lived in it. One of the roommates spoke about how there was hauntings going on in it. The rest of the roommates, of course, did not believe him. I showed up one time and we were all hanging out, you know, having a good time. And everyone was in the back area of the kitchen, you know, and the bathroom in the back area is being used. So I went to the upstairs bathroom. So I walked through the living room, up to the stairs, went all the way up to the area that walks around, like the area there, all the rooms.
Right.
And went to this like add-on bathroom area. I went to that bathroom, you know, as I'm washing my hands to come on out, everything got very, very cold. There's all this grunting and snorting noises coming from the other side of the door.
Oh.
I immediately threw the door open and there was nothing there at all. And very confused and very weirded out, I finished washing my hands and slowly walked down the stairs. And there was no one in the living room area. Everyone was in the back. No one had any idea what I was talking about. And finally, the guy who had talked about the ghost before told me a little bit more about what he had heard. And so later I brought my sister back and I took her to the same spot, and whatever it was, it ran from her.
Now, so, did you tell her the story before you came, or did you just say, hey, come?
I told her I'd run across a ghost there, and I was curious what she thought. And so I took her up the stairs. We had a third person with us, and we got to the top of the stairs, and apparently both of our heads snapped to one spot and started tracking around the overhang, looking down the stairs there.
Right.
So whatever it was, ran by the other bedroom doors and ran into a far bedroom. And as it ran into the far bedroom, my sister and I looked at each other, and then we're like, I'm like, I think it just ran into that room. She's like, yeah, I think so too. And the third person was like, your heads just were like locked without even looking at each other, tracking whatever it was. So it didn't like her, I guess.
Right, right. Yeah. It's funny. It's funny how spirits, ghosts, whatever you want to call them, do have a personality or have conflicts with certain personalities.
Yes.
And I've heard that before, and so I'm wondering, once they're on the other side, of course, sometimes ghosts don't realize they're on the other side. Why do you think spirits, in your own opinion, stick around on at either bridges or homes or hotels? Why do you think that they kind of stick around on this part of the dementia?
Well, I mean, in some places it's because they have, you know, a personal connection to it, which would be hopefully like something happy would be nice.
Right.
But in the case of obviously those bridges, it's really not.
Right.
But in some of the hotels, those people probably had a good time in the hotel, a fun moment there, something that was important to them. You know, like there's a little girl who hangs out in it's no longer a bed and breakfast or a hotel. I guess it may be a bed and breakfast somewhat. I think they're using it mostly for events. There's a little girl who hangs out in the upper turret like tower room, and she'll play with the guests when they were actually open for a hotel, and she'll, you know, cozy up to them in bed sometimes, peek out the window, and she has apparently a great time running around the place, you know. But they don't rent it out anymore, from what I heard. It's just mostly events. I don't know if couples stay there after they get married in the backyard, but
I don't know. I think that would be, have you ever like purposely stayed in a hotel room that, or stayed in a house just to see if you can see the spirit?
I have not yet. I've looked into it a little bit. It's a little difficult sometimes to get the exact room.
Right. But yeah, because everybody else wants to do that.
Yeah. I have thought about Santa Maria Inn. I've thought about trying to go down there and stand in one of those rooms.
Which one is it? Oh, the
Santa Maria Inn. The Santa Maria Inn has the ghost of Rudolph Valentino in it, but to be fair, he haunts everywhere.
Right. I've heard that before.
He is the most well-traveled ghost I've run across. More traveled than like the president ghosts, right? Like the ghosts of presidents are all over the place too. But Rudolph Valentino is literally in like 20 different locations. And his dog even gets around too.
His dog?
Yeah. His dog K-Bar haunts the Calabasas Pet Cemetery. We'll sniff your hand and we'll, you know, bark at you and run around and lick you sometimes.
Oh, how fun. Well, I have to go there just to get a good lick.
Also, for the Calabasas Pet Cemetery, you can find an old MGM lion buried there.
Calabasas Cemetery?
Yeah, they have an MGM lion. So there was a lot of MGM lions, and they're buried in a few different spots. There's definitely one buried in that cemetery. It's got a big giant tombstone with a picture of the lion.
I'll have to. What's it called? The Calabasas.
The Calabasas Pet Cemetery. It's just a little bit north of LA.
Pet Cemetery. Let me see if I can find a picture of it, because I'm a visual person, so I like to see what they look like. Wow. So there's a lot of pet spirits. I'm sure sometimes maybe even human spirits come to visit there.
Maybe. Pets. I have not heard any stories about human spirits there, and the main spirit is K-Bar, Rudolph Valentino's dog.
Wow. So. Well, I would go there. I wouldn't mind getting good sniff or a lick or something. That'd be kind of cool.
But you will find like some famous, you know, acting dogs that are buried there. I think there's a horse buried there. Like I said, an MGM lion. Although there's a few other places with MGM lions buried.
Well, one thing that's very close to us, because, you know, I'm based here in Burbank, and we're right across the street from Warner Brothers. We're right down the street from Hollywood Forever.
Yep. Hollywood Forever's got a lot of...
That one, I guarantee you there's some ghosts that go through there. So have you heard any stories of actors or any other people that have presented themselves at this cemetery?
That one's got a bunch. Let me real quickly look it up for you. Let's see here. Give me one second. I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's okay. And while we're waiting, anybody in the chat room, if you guys want to ask a question or even tell us some of the cemeteries that you have heard about in your area, it'd be great to hear about what's popular in your area for hauntings.
So besides Rudolph Valentino in Paramount, he runs around the Paramount lot, and he also runs around the cemetery. He also has the Black Bride. She wears all black and apparently shows up and visits his grave often. So there's that there. But there's, as far as ghosts, you have, I think Virginia Rapp is there, Clifton Webb. I believe also one of Hearst's, I think the woman who was dating Hearst is also a ghost there as well.
Hmm.
I don't think Ben Siegel is not there, but Ben Siegel does haunt Virginia Hill's house, which is not too far away, and he also haunts the Flamingo.
Oh, really?
And Ben Bugsy Siegel.
Let me look him. Was he
he's a
mobster?
A mobster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When
he's
said
the one
Bugsy,
that Moe Green is based off of in Godfather. Ben Siegel got shot through the eye in Virginia Hill's house. That was his girlfriend. And he now haunts Virginia Hill's house. I don't think he actually haunts the cemetery, but his gravesite's there. And he definitely haunts the Flamingo. Yep, there you go.
There's
he definitely
mug
haunts
shot.
The Flamingo in Las Vegas.
Yeah, when you said Bugsy, I'm like, oh, he must be a mobster.
He hated that nickname, so I try not to use it.
Right, you don't want him coming visiting you. all right, so we talked about houses, and I've even heard of haunted roads. I've always was curious. What's his name from? Oh gosh, the actor that. James Dean. I was always curious.
Oh, yeah.
if have you ever heard of his ghost where he, you know, crashed and died?
That's on 46. Where 46 meets 41. So there's a lot of James Dean stuff that actually kind of see along that road. You have Shalom, which has the kind of like a monument to him, which is kind of the silver metal strip with his name on it and some other stuff on it. And someone built that. And then down the street, when you get to Lost Hills area, there's Blackwell's gas station there, and they have a whole bunch of pictures of him, and they have some giant cutouts of him. That was apparently the last place he stopped for gas.
Wow.
His roadster has been seen on the road, driving phantomly down it, especially on late nights and foggy nights, driving just down it. He sadly crashed there, crashing into a truck that was turning from what is now 41 onto 46. And I think 46 was called 466 back then. Apparently parts of the car that he was driving were kind of cannibalized, I guess, and utilized in other cars. And apparently every car that it was used in had horrible accidents.
Oh, really? He said, "You ain't touching my car." Yeah. As you can see in the picture. Yeah. As you can see in the picture, there wasn't much left at all. I can see why he did not make it on that one. And that was one of the, I think in California especially, one of the bigger crashes that, you know, Hollywood has you know, kind of a legend that kept going and going and going.
His sunglasses, his goggles that he had when he was driving that car were found by someone. And after decades, they actually did turn them over to Blackwell's Corner. So if you go to Blackwell's Corner there in Lost Hills, you can actually see those sunglasses on display back by the bathrooms.
Oh, really? Or were they broken or did they
stay intact? No, they survived.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty interesting. I'd figure that after that crash, that would have been pretty intense. Well, let's see. Smile Away says, my old neighbor in St. Louis, Missouri, had a ghost dog. I thought it was silly until one day we heard a dog bouncing down the stairs and turned to see absolutely nothing. So, it is funny how a lot of people, their belief in spirits, they have their doubts. Again, until they experience something that they can't explain, and then they're like, well, maybe I'm going to rethink this.
I think a friendly ghost dog would be one of the best ghosts to have in your house.
Right, right. You don't have to feed it. You know, you don't have to let it outside. You know,
it cuddles.
It cuddles.
It barks at strangers.
Right. Protects you. So, I mean, doesn't get sick, doesn't die.
Yep. It's not going to throw up in your carpet, right?
Right. Well, okay, so we're talking about ghosts, but California also has a lot of legendary monsters, or we talk about monsters. So tell us some of the monsters that California has reported.
Well, obviously we have Bigfoot. Obviously we have several sea serpents off the coast.
Right.
There's also lake monsters. You have chupacabras that show up every now and then, apparently. You know, just a variety of different ones.
Right.
Beyond that, there's also a lot of like human monster hybrid type things. You'll run across a goat headed monster down in, near Ojai, Ventura area. There's a cow headed monster down east of San Diego. We've had a few sea serpents. Of course, you have also the Native American monsters that have popped up here and there. So things like that.
Well, I know the like you said, the chupacabra. We've talked about that before. Where have they seen those?
Mostly in the southeastern part of
like closer
California,
to Mexico,
like over by Arizona, New Mexico.
Yeah,
heading that way.
Yeah, so. And has there been one that maybe you've seen or not just heard of?
I've never seen a chupacabra. Sorry.
I mean, of any type of monster, have you seen anything?
No, I have not. I'm sorry.
Now,
I think the.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
But like, for example, if you look behind me, you'll see these are the mountains of the Santa Lucia Mountains. They run from roughly Avila, San Luis Obispo area up to Monterey through Big Sur. And there's creatures that live up in them, supposedly called the Dark Watchers. And they're these 10-foot tall, like humanoid-like creatures that appear at twilight, just kind of staring off into like nothingness. So and they live in these very pretty mountains that are here that people come from all over the world to drive through. It's about 135 miles from San Luis Obispo to Monterey along this road.
Yeah, I love that drive up there. It's such a beautiful area. Like I said, it's just
it's amazing.
Yeah, it's peaceful, quiet, and so much to do, especially nature-wise.
And it has a ghost story too.
Does it?
Yeah. Tell so us. There's a bunch of ghost stories up there, but one of the bigger ones. Let's see here. Give me a second. I'll put a bridge up here. Where is it? This one. Okay. Did that change my background? There you go. So there's this bridge. That's the Bixby Bridge. The Bixby Bridge was built back in the 30s as they were trying to get this road finally fully open from Monterey to San Luis Obispo. And back when it opened around 1937, a man named Al Greer did fly a plane from the canyon side over there on the left, underneath the bridge and out towards the ocean. Today, every now and then, people will be out there at night or driving over it at night, and a plane will fly in the reverse direction, out from the ocean. It'll fly underneath the bridge and fly through the canyon and up. And it's this ghostly World War I plane that flies on it.
Oh, my gosh. That is awesome. That is awesome. Yeah, and where?
And also,
and this bridge is where again?
Paranormal one. It's a Bixby Bridge. It's north of Big Sur.
Okay.
North of Big Sur, it's south of Monterey, so it's probably about 20 miles, I think, north of Big Sur, so it's not too far from Big Sur area. It's getting close to Point Sur there, where there's a whole bunch of shipwrecks. I mean, if you're driving along this road, something that's not paranormal that you want to look for When you get by Hearst Castle, you'll run across these guys. These are wild zebras.
Oh, really?
They're not ghosts. They're actual wild zebras. No one takes care of them. There's about about 130 now.
Wow. They've
been there since William Randolph Hearst released them from a zoo a long time ago when he had money trouble.
I've been actually wanting to go up to the Hearst Castle.
Hearst Castle's great. Just reopened.
Yeah, I went up there about less than a year ago, and it was still closed. And I was like, no, I wanted to go so bad. So I'm thinking about taking a trip up there just to do some filming.
But the zebras were released by Hearst a long time ago and have flourished. The worst part about the zebras is since no one does take care of them, when one eventually does die of natural causes, it just kind of sits out there until a rainstorm comes along. And then the rainstorm will wash the zebra out into the ocean. Huh. Well, what happens when a zebra ends up washed into the ocean? It gets washed ashore on the beach. So if you're walking along the beach in San Simeon with your daughter, it's possible for a zebra carcass to wash.
And they're like, what the hell is a zebra out in the ocean? Yeah. Well, let's talk about lizard people. That's definitely something that, truth be told, you know, because a lot of times lizard people, we think of extraterrestrials. We at least link them to that. What is your research shown, and where have they been seen?
So the lizard people have actually been seen, well, a lot of places. Even when I was in New Jersey, we would hear stories of lizard people. Like, I don't know if you remember, there was a company called ITT. ITT had all these government facilities that they managed, and supposedly the lizard people had tunnels that led up to ITT's facilities so that they could have secret meetings of ITT to discuss politics and where things were going to go in the world and stuff like that. Well, California has those too. For example, Vandenberg Space Base, it's no longer Air Force Base, Vandenberg Space Base supposedly has tunnels that lead up to it. Mount Shasta has a little of everything, including
probably
a city of lizard people underneath it.
Right.
There's definitely lizard people down in the Long Beach and Los Angeles area, according to the stories. And in the 30s, someone actually went looking for them in downtown Los Angeles. It was in 1933, 1934, a guy named G. Warren Schufelt. He got a contract with the city to dig in downtown Los Angeles. And the original agreement was that he would pay for all the costs, leave the site the way he found it, and pay the city 50% of any treasure he found. Now, it's important to note that no treasure was ever turned over to the city. I think he dug about 250 feet down. It made the papers. I think the city's like, uh-oh, we did something wrong here. We better stop him. And they did stop him. And the entire project was canceled and went away. He had some sort of strange device. It was described as like a radio X-ray device. Now, I don't know how that exactly works, but it apparently worked under the principle that all matter has its own like radio frequency, and that you would take this device and put like something in the device and it would analyze the radio frequency of it, so say gold, and it would be able to point you in the direction of more gold. And so he was using this to find these caves that were supposedly underneath LA and look for gold that the lizard people had. Needless to say, no one's ever unveiled this device. It's been, 90 years?
And right.
That device sounds like it'd be really useful.
I was going to say, if you have an extra one, I wouldn't mind trying it out.
He had a Native American working with him, and the Native American apparently claimed that he could predict earthquakes within at least 96 hours before they would happen.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, that has also not come to, he hasn't revealed his secrets. So, supposedly the lizard men are down there.
Well, Michelle in the chat room says lizard people live as celebrities, I believe. What do you think? Story. Do you think some of these, do you think the lizard people, and by the way, we have a guy named Robert in there. Robert, thank you for tuning in. But he was saying, this is a lot of disinformation. This is not disinformation. This is actually just entertainment purpose. And we're, two people that love to reach out and go places in California that, love to look into legends and people's local myths. It's so disinformation. This is everywhere. It's not just in California. I mean, in my hometown, my sister swears she saw a Bigfoot in the local woods, and UFOs and all kinds of stuff. So this is everywhere, and it's really entertainment purposes. But I have a feeling some things are definitely have its legit sightings.
There's a reason for a lot of the stories, right? They had to originate from somewhere, some maybe very small grain of truth.
Yeah.
I mean, my website is a website of, well, roadside attractions and stories.
Right.
They're stories. Whether they're true or not, that's for you to come up with, right? Are there lizard people living in L.A.? I don't know. But the city did come into a contract of a guy who did, in the 30s, dig in downtown L.A. to look for gold.
I heard that. Yeah. I remember you, that's. I've heard that before, actually. Yeah. Underneath.
So I don't know if lizard people are living underneath Mount Shasta or if they're talking to the top military brass of Vandenberg Space Force Base. But those are the urban legends, at least.
Can you talk about John Steinbeck a little bit? About the Dark Watchers. How does that connection?
So a lot of what people have heard about the Dark Watchers come from, surprisingly, fiction writers. So one was Robinson Jeffers, who wrote a poem called Such Counsels You Gave to Me. And mm-hmm. he actually does reference the Dark Watchers and describes them in it. And John Steinbeck also describes them in a short story called Flight. Robinson Jeffers, in the poem Such Counsels You Gave to Me, he goes, "You thought it might be one of the Watchers, who are often seen in this length of coast range, forms that look human to human eyes, but certainly are not human. They come from behind ridges to watch. He was not surprised when the figure turning toward him in the quiet twilight showed his own face. Then it melted and merged into the shadows beyond it." And then John Steinbeck continues in a story called Flight, where there's a teenage boy who is forced to flee into the Santa Lucia Mountains to hide. His mom tells him to avoid the Dark Watchers, saying, "When thou comest to the high mountains, if thou seest any of the dark watching men, go not near to them, nor try to speak to them." And then the character actually does run across one. He looked up to the top of the next dry, withered ridge. He saw a dark form against the sky, a man's figure standing on top of a rock, and he glanced away quickly, not to appear curious. When a moment later he looked up again, the figure was gone.
Wow. Now,
John Steinbeck's mom was a big believer in the Dark Watchers, and she, according to the stories, left out, you know, fruits and flowers and, you know, nuts for the Dark Watchers all the time. And apparently a lot of people in the Big Sur area and Monterey area do believe in them as well. There's people there who believe in them, apparently. So,
yeah, and one thing that I went and worked, this is off to the next subject because I can't believe time's going so damn fast, but one of my favorite places to go is Lake Tahoe.
Okay,
Tahoe Tessie, and I'll show a quick picture. If you haven't been to Tahoe, it is one of the most majestic, beautiful lakes and areas there is. It's almost like a heaven on earth when you go up to the top of the mountain on the ski lift, which scares the hell out of me because I'm scared of heights. But I've heard about Tessie, but I don't know much about Tessie. So could you tell our audience about when was the last sighting? Has it been a while? And what is Tessie? Is it like the Loch Ness Monster?
It's basically the Loch Ness Monster. It's California's Loch Ness Monster. And we have a few of them. It's not just Tessie. There's also Elsie down on Lake Elsinore. And then there's a few other ones that have like slightly different non-Loch Ness style monsters. But, what Tahoe Tessie is, if it's actually a plesiosaur or a dinosaur hanging out in the lake, I don't know. But... she's been there a long time. Supposedly Native Americans apparently were rumored to have run across her. Supposedly Jacques Cousteau apparently ran across her in the 70s. I don't know how true that is or if that's just internet lore. She's been there a while and she's supposed to be a plesiosaur. they love her. They talk about her a lot, I think, up in Tahoe. So
I would too. I mean,
yeah,
she earned her right.
Also, the island there's only one island in Lake Tahoe, and it's called Finette Island, and it's rumored by the ghost of a hermit named Captain Dick Barter. So he's
Captain
hanging
Dick
out there.
Barter?
Captain Dick Barter, yeah. It's an island of an old tea house on it. I think a rich person who owns one of the big giant houses there, or used to back in the day, built a tea house on the island and would hold tea up there. And I guess the location is haunted by an old crotchety, you know, ghost of some sort.
Is that the hermit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually have been there because there's a little, it's a little grove. And then you can go down there and like lay on the beach.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and I think I did go down there. Yeah, because I remember there was a house there, and we didn't go through the house, but there's an island out there, and you could swim out there, or you can boat out there and go on the island. So water's cold, just in case you want to go.
And deep, I hear, too. I hear the lake is pretty deep.
All right, so we have about 10 minutes left. So one thing that, you know, truth be told, we talk a lot about is UFOs. And the Battle of Los Angeles, of course, is a legend when it comes to, you know, during the World War II era. Can you talk about that?
Sure. This was... shortly after Pearl Harbor happened. It happened on February 25th, 1942. And an important side note, I think 2 days earlier on February 23rd, 1942, Santa Barbara, well, Goleta, just north of Santa Barbara, was bombed by a Japanese submarine. They bombed Elwood Oil Field and blew up a bunch of stuff there. It didn't cause too much damage, but they had just bombed Santa Barbara, well, Goleta, right before this incident. And in the morning of February 25th, 1942, at about 2:15 in the morning, radar detected an object flying, you know, roughly 120 miles or so off the coast of LA, and the air sirens immediately started, you know, blaring, and the entire city was ordered into a, you know, to go all black, and so everyone had to turn their lights off, but luckily most people were sleeping anyway. And then immediately anti-aircraft, you know, were guns were put on alert,
right?
And soon thereafter they just started firing into the air, right? So you know, they were all very heightened. They apparently saw something on the radar and started shooting. And if you've seen some of the pictures, the spotlights are going towards what looks like some sort of object in the sky, and they're supposed to be shooting up into the air at that object. You know, anti-aircraft were just shooting up and down the coast. They're not entirely sure what it was. Since then, Japan has, of course, stated that they were nowhere in the area. So that has led UFOologists to believe that it was some sort of UFO that came to the area, and you know, that's what we were shooting at.
And we bombed the hell out of it.
We did. Let's see here. I think I'm trying to find it. Where is it? There's a lot of rounds were launched into the air. I mean, a lot. They just kept firing for quite a while. Looks like fire continued from, it looks like 3:16 in the morning to about 4:14 in the morning is when they got the all clear. And the blackout was finally lifted at 7:21 in the morning. So, yeah. But there's a bunch of theories about what they were shooting at. You know, the radar sites believe it was some sort of Japanese aircraft or a Japanese squadron of airplanes, but it's not really possible. They couldn't reach LA at the time. And since then, they believe that it's now a UFO of some sort. What probably actually happened, though, was probably less weird. From what I've heard is one of the sites was testing their radar, and they were taking helium balloons and painting them with lead-based paint and using that to... you know, have them show up on the radar. And right. They think a few of the balloons got away, drifted down the coast, and came into another radar site, which picked them up and thought something was attacking and started putting everyone on alert. So it could be as simple as just an escaped balloon with lead paint on it.
Right.
Or it could have been a UFO in the air.
Well, it's a better story with the UFO.
It is. It's a much better story. Yes. But this caused a lot of problems. For example, you know, soon after that we ended up having, you know, all of the Japanese Americans started getting rounded up and tossed into, you know, our form of camps. Right. America's paranoia and, you know, fear for the war rapidly escalated to where politicians had to start taking action.
Right. So, right.
It had some horrible repercussions, unfortunately.
That is true. Yeah, we'd definitely. That was a dark time in the U.S. history when on our end. Well, we just have a few minutes. So before we go, give us some of the missing treasures and just some of the more fun facts. We don't have to do anything paranormal at this last couple. I just want to give some people that might be coming to California or even live in California that have never heard of or something fun to do on a weekend. What would be a couple things that people might want to check out?
Well, Winchester Mystery House is always fun if you're looking for paranormal. Down in LA, I don't believe it's reopened yet, sadly, but the Queen Mary is always, it's expensive, but it's always a good tour. They have a really good tour. Back to where the Dark Watchers hang out, behind me, you'll see these giant calla lilies. This is Calla Lily Valley. It is north of that Bixby Bridge area that I showed you. And between like February and April, it blooms with thousands of these galleys, and they are gigantic. They're just hordes of them, and it's just beautiful. If you're looking for like natural wonders, you're not too far from redwoods either. So, all in all, good trip. Muffler men are all over the place in California. Do you know what muffler men are? They're 18 to 22 foot tall, fiberglass men that were built back in the 50s and 60s. They usually have like one hand like this and one hand like that, which like one hand's up, one hand's down. And they're usually holding a muffler or an axe or some other instrument of some sort. And they're produced to advertise various places, and they pop up all over the place. There's a lot down in LA. They were made in there. There's one right there. There you go. That's one that's down in San Diego. It's over in Escondido.
It's funny you know it.
So that's the Jor muffler. He gets dressed up for the holidays too.
You'll oh, really?
Santa outfit for Santa for Christmas.
That's hilarious.
Built in Venice.
In what is it?
Mm-hmm. They were built in Venice in LA.
Oh, really?
A bunch of them. They also, the company was International Fiberglass. They also made a variety of giant fiberglass chickens and cows. And have you ever heard of the Doggy Diner fast food chain, which was in the Bay Area? They made the Doggy Diner heads.
Doggy Diner, fast food. No, I have not. I'm looking to see if I can find. Oh, that's cute. I love it.
Yeah, they're giant dachshunds and chef hats and bow ties.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
So if you want to see a bunch of muffler men and a bunch of Doggy Diner heads, you can only visit it during the week, Monday through Friday. But there's a place called Bell Plastics in Hayward. And a guy there named Bruce Kennedy, and he's awesome. I've talked to him several times. He runs a fiberglass fabrication shop. And in like 02, 03 timeframe, he bought Hayward's muffler man and moved it to his site. And since then, he's just bought a myriad of fiberglass statues. So he's got like, I think, 6 or 7 muffler men now. He's got 2 Doggy Diner heads and several other fiberglass statues, including a Uniroyal girl, which is the female version of the muffler man. He looks a little like Jackie Kennedy.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, looks a little like Jackie Kennedy. Sometimes she's got a bathing suit on. Sometimes she's got a dress.
Well, one thing that I really love to do if I'm going out, I love these old missions.
Oh, there's a lot of them now.
Oh, there is.
They're all haunted.
That's what I'm saying. You could tell. I get that kind of creepy feeling of going in because, you know, some of these are hundreds of years old. I mean, and a lot of people, you know, well, a lot of their the priests or ministers who that would be part of it, you know, they're buried there, and they're. Yeah, mm-hmm. I guarantee you there's some ghost walking around down there. So
Mission San Miguel has both a lost treasure and hauntings.
Oh, really?
And had a horrible murder happen there, horrible massacre. There was a guy named Reed who took over the mission when Spain owned everything and they sold off the missions. So he ended up running it for a while as like kind of like a waypoint, and he only took gold as payment. And he was bragging about having gold buried on the site, and some pirates and bandits, this group of pirates and bandits showed up and were staying the night, heard him bragging about it. Hmm. They left in the morning, but then decided otherwise and came back and killed everyone who was there. And I think it was 11 or 13 people were killed, and they didn't find the gold. And then they had to flee, and a posse was sent out, and they were all hunted down. Some were shot, some jumped off cliffs to get away and died when they crashed into the ocean. And some were caught and then eventually hung. So,
wow.
Supposedly the ghosts of the people who were killed still hang out there. You can actually go to the room.
They're pissed.
Yeah. There's also ghost monks there too. So, you know, if you want your ghost monks, they're still there also. So you got everything at this mission.
That sounds like a Vegas show.
It is. Yeah. It's actually a really cool mission though. It's nice. It got hurt by an earthquake back in the early 2000s, but they've spent a bunch of money to fix it up. And it's a neat mission. It's a pretty one.
Well, I think we're gonna have to do a truth be told or truth traveler. We'll have to get together and we'll have to go to a couple of these sites and
sure.
And share it with the audience. So, but well, thank you so much, and everybody that wants more information, go to here. I'm gonna put it in the chat room. Weird California. You can just check it out. There's tons of information on there about all kinds of stuff about California and interesting sites and destinations that you may not ever see on a travel brochure. So yeah, check it out. And hopefully Joe, if you have questions, I'm sure he can reach out to you if you have questions. But Joe, thank you so much for being on Truth Be Told.
Thank you.
It was awesome. Awesome time. And thank you for sharing all your fun travel with your daughter.
Thank you so much. I had a great time and thank you for having me.
Of course. And thank you, everybody, again, for being part of Truth Be Told, being in the chat room. We had a great crew today, and everybody's saying it's an awesome show today. So thank you for joining us. Make sure you tune in on Mondays at 3 o'clock Pacific time for Minuteman Report with Robert Hensley. And then on Wednesday at 3 o'clock with Bonnie Burkert. And so, you know, with Truth Be Told Transformation, of course, meet every Friday. And don't forget, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be with Robert Hensley in Roswell, New Mexico for the 75th anniversary of Roswell crash. So we're excited to be on the ground and interviewing some of those speakers. So I hope you guys tune in for that. And if you're there, please come up and say hi. But until next time, I'm Tony Sweet. We'll take care and see you next Friday.
This has been another episode of Truth Be Told. Thank you so much for watching. Recorded live at UBN Go Studios in Burbank, California. Join us on social media. Facebook, Truth Be Told Radio. Instagram, Truth Be Told Paranormal. Go to Truth Be Told Worldwide for more information on upcoming shows.